everybody. What's going on? Welcome back to the Midnight Terrors podcast. My name is Kevin, and I am here with my co-host, Roy, horror author R. Jacob Honeybrook. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? How are you doing? I feel like it's been an eternity since I last talked to you.
It has been a hot minute, but I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. My life has been a whirlwind this week with the Bookstagram Beyondathon going on. It is absolutely incredible. Like, I didn't expect it to be as intense as it is, but like every day I'm waking up to like 100 notifications. Like, no lie to just like book reviewers and people posting interviews, and it's just the outpouring of support for the independent author community is crazy. So Alex Hartwell, he's a horror author. He organized this, so big shout out to that guy. A lot of work went into this, so I'm glad to see it's paying off just for him, let alone all the authors that are involved.
That's awesome, man. And that is right up our alley for this episode because we are so excited to welcome back one of our favorite guests that we've had on. And I can't believe it's already been a year, as we were just talking about. But we would like to welcome back Viggy Parr Hampton, also a horror author. Viggy, what's up?
Hey guys, how you doing? It's been a very long time.
Yeah, we're doing good. It's nice to have you back on. The last episode we had you on was the probably my favorite named episode that we've done, which was Ragin' Contagion.
Very clever. I did love that title.
You
I
outdid
was
yourself
like,
with that one.
I don't think I'll ever peak that way again.
Viggy is also the only person to ever be on Honey and a Biscuit because I am lazy as fuck and have not put out any more episodes in like 6 months.
Maybe that's fine though. Just one shining episode.
Do you like the Sex Pistols? Just put out one and just dip.
I was gonna
Why
say
not?
you're like one of those bands that just puts out one record and is just gone.
2025, maybe we'll put another one out if people ask nice enough.
Yeah. Well, you are better than the Sex Pistols though, Roy. I just have to say.
I think every band is. And
But
every human.
yes, Viggy, welcome back. We are very excited to have you back on. We had a blast talking with you last time, and you've been up to a lot of different things since we last spoke to you. You want to kind of like recap what the last year of your life has been? Because it's been pretty amazing.
Oh my God.
Thanks.
I follow Viggy and I just see her everywhere. She's on like TV at book festivals. I'm like, I need to get on her level. So let's see her, Viggy.
I have been really busy. So last time we talked, I was just about or had just published A Cold Night for Alligators, which was my first book. And then in October, I published my second book, which was called Much Too Vulgar. And then I just recently got back from the Scares That Care AuthorCon in Williamsburg, which was awesome. And I got to meet a lot of great authors and readers. And then my third book, The Rotting Room, comes out on April 23rd. And I've written a lot of short stories in between too. So yes, I've been just a little bit busy.
I think it's safe to say you love what you do, though, which is incredibly awesome. And congrats again on everything that you've done in the last year and three books, in about a year. Roy, you got anything to say about that?
Yeah, I need to get my ass in gear.
If it makes you feel any better, I wrote all three of those in like between 2019 and 2021, and then I like polished them and just started publishing really fast. So everybody's like, "Oh my gosh, did you write a book in 4 months?" No, I did not. It took years, but I'm just starting to publish. But now I've kind of gone through my back catalog of ones that I had like banked up, and I'm starting to write new stuff, and it's a fun challenge. I really like it.
That's awesome. I was actually about to ask you that question was now that the ones that have been kind of waiting in the wings are published, is have you been writing for the next story? So that's great to hear.
Yes, I have two more that I've written, but they need a ton of work. And then I'm starting a new one, which will be the next.
Now, I don't know if it's like this with you, but after I spend months editing a book and cleaning it up, doesn't it feel weird to go back in and write again? Like, wait a
It
second,
really
how does
does
this
because I'm
all
like, but
work?
there's nothing here. I have to produce the thing instead of molding clay into something better. I have to create the clay. And that, yeah, it's a totally different mindset.
Very, very cool. Well, I guess we should waste no time on getting into our topic today. I just have to say, Vicky, I really like these types of format episodes. We don't do these a lot for some reason. So I'm glad that you've kind of been, suggesting these kinds of topics. I really like these sort of umbrella conversations where we can really like analyze a certain corner of horror. Last time we did Contagion Horror to match, the theme of your book, A Cold Night for Alligators. And here we are doing the very same for the new one, with a discussion on religious horror movies, which in particular was a subject that I was really excited to dive into. So when Roy hit me up to tell me that that's what we were doing, I was very excited because this is, I feel like, a corner of horror that dominated my fandom for probably a lot of the 2010s, I would say.
Yeah, and there's so much of it. I mean, especially just it feels like in the last year we've had Immaculate, we've had The First Omen. I mean, there's always a demon or possession or devil movie coming out, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted to ask you, is this a sort of a genre of horror that you tend to lean to when you're consuming horror, or how does that go for you with religious horror?
I would say yes, because I mean, a lot of people ask me what scares me, and I don't know, stuff that could really happen, psychological stuff doesn't scare me in the same way that like a demon does. I don't know, I just find that utterly terrifying. So I'm always looking for that perfect religious horror movie that will scare the crap out of me. And I found a couple that have done a pretty good job, but for the most part, I'm always left just a little bit wanting.
Fair, fair.
I know what you're saying with that because I used to listen to these horror stories before I would go to bed, or as I'm going to bed, I should say. And I was fine with the ghosts and the killers and whatever. But then they start talking about these demons, and they're like, "Yeah, here's what I said to summon it." And I'm like, if I'm listening to this shit and they're telling like everybody what they said, like, should I be listening to this? Am I gonna get like thrown into hell? I mean, I probably am anyway, but like, I'm gonna wait on that a little bit.
Oh, Roy,
I'm a realist.
you're always coming up with the best way to phrase things. Roy, same question for you though. I don't think I've ever really asked you about this because we haven't done a lot of religious kind of paranormal horror between you and I on the show. So I don't think I've ever asked you, what is your take on like kind of the religious leaning horror?
I think it hits a lot of people on a different level, and it did me for a while because, Kevin, I know a little bit about you, big yawn about you, but I was brought up in a Christian religion, going to church every Sunday, Sunday school, that kind of thing. So that stuff about like God and angels and de devil and demons, that's really ingrained to you from a young age. So when I would watch the religious horror movies like The Possession of Emily Rose or The Exorcist, like that shit would freak me out because this is all the things we've been taught since birth that are bad and that are evil and that are actually out there. As I've gotten older, I'm not as close with Christian religion. But the stuff still, like, there's something to it. I always have this discussion with people. I'm like, we've had vampires and monsters and demons, not just in Christianity, but every religion. Folklore talks about this stuff, so there's got to be something to it. And yeah, I think still the religious horror hits a little bit deeper. And here's one thing I wanted to ask you guys. I was thinking about as I was going over this episode in my mind is, isn't every kind of horror a little bit of religious horror? Because it calls a lot of stuff into question if you think about it.
Well, I want to put a pin in that real quick because actually, as we were prepping for this episode, which for these types of episodes, I kind of have not so much like notes on them. I kind of just try to gather my thoughts and look at movies that pop up under this category and gather my thoughts that way. And the first thing that popped into my head prepping for this episode is the question, what makes a movie a religious horror movie? And that's kind of where I wanted to start with
Look at
this
that.
discussion.
Pretty much on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, the easy answer is anything that deals with nuns, monks, priests takes place in a church. But I think there are also more subtle religious horror, kind of whatever really challenges your belief system. So, getting back to your question, Roy, I think maybe you can say that anything that challenges your belief system could be a form of religious horror. So it's maybe even broader than we can imagine.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I landed too, is if you asked me probably 10 years ago, I would have said religious horror has to do with like almost specifically Christian iconography. But I feel like now religious horror can really fall under like any sort of belief system. And I feel like new, not new, but like different belief systems are being incorporated into religious horror movies to kind of like discuss that belief system and share different viewpoints. So I feel like we've gotten away from, the standard religious horror movie and are slowly moving into new territory with it, which is kind of cool.
It is very cool. Can you give some examples of that? Because just the ones that come to mind for me lately, like Immaculate and The First Omen, very rooted in the Catholic tradition. So what are some other ones that are, I don't know, not so Christianity forward?
So one that comes to my mind, and I believe it was on Netflix in like 2021, 2020 or something like that, was one called The Old Ways, which was, I'm not quite sure what the belief system would be or the culture that it was pulling from was. But it was a possession movie, dealing with a demon, but they were combating it with almost like traditional Native American beliefs and like that sort of spiritualism, or even like Exorcist Believer Roy, which you and I talked about towards the end there. They were combating it with like different types of beliefs rather than just an exorcism. They were bringing in like, just energies and medicine and some scientific stuff in there too, which I thought was kind of interesting. It was like, incorporating different belief systems there. So those are two that come to my mind, specifically.
That's cool. I'll have to add those to my list. I haven't seen those.
And I sort of one that flew under, actually, you know what? There's two that I can think of. One from a couple years ago, which wasn't a great movie, but had some like research scientific method to it, which was Prey for the Devil, but it's Prey like Prey, where they were kind of keeping people who were possessed in like a rehabilitation center. And then they would bring in, clergy or nuns to like combat it that way. Or there was another one called Incarnate that had Aaron Eckhart in it, where he was using almost like an Inception style way of dealing with it, where he would kind of like go into their unconscious mind a little bit to kind of combat demons that way.
Damn.
Sounds really cool.
That does.
So
Well,
yeah.
what about Heretic? I listened to Review to Death's episode on that one, and that deals a lot with the Mormon religion, which is kind of like an offshoot of Christianity, I guess you could say.
That was a really interesting one. I didn't love the movie, I'll start out by saying that, but I thought it was really interesting because I've never seen a movie so explicitly challenge religion in a format like that. And I think that was, I don't want to say groundbreaking because maybe there are other movies who would, that have done it, but that was the first I've seen that really did anything like that so directly.
Yeah, I haven't seen Heretic just yet, but I know that it was very much, acclaimed, and I heard that it was a different type of movie, kind of going against the grain a little bit when it came to, religious beliefs. So I'm interested to see now that it's on like Max, I definitely want to check it out and see what it's bringing to the table.
Yeah, from what those guys said, you could basically plop any religion in there and it could still work because there's a lot of like, is this a real prophet? Is it not? I mean, that comes up in any belief system.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I think that I'm kind of with Roy that a religious horror movie kind of goes with belief systems, rather than, again, just the classic Christian belief system, which is still like a great way to go with religious horror. Like, you can still very much scare people that way because, like Roy said, most of us are brought up on that belief system. And so it very much still scares me, the classic iconography of Christianity and horror, and demons and the devil and stuff like that, I still find to be terribly frightening. But I think we're nowadays, especially, definitely going against the grain a little bit, the directors are with bringing in new belief systems and things. So it's kind of interesting.
I think it much needed to revitalize it because we've had, I found this term, nunsploitation, which I thought was kind of funny. These nunsploitation films with nuns. And I feel like I was just looking them up. There are so many. So to have something new would be awesome.
Well, that's another thing to dive into is I feel like for me personally, and Roy, you and I have definitely talked about this. Viggy, maybe you would be wanting to come on this episode, considering we've done this format with you a few times. We've talked about doing episodes kind of going through the decades of horror and
I
talking
feel like we've been talking about this for 10 years.
about
I would
what's
love that.
popular. Okay, you're in. Talking about what's popular, like trope-wise and theme-wise in various decades. And I feel like for me, the 2010s, at least the first half, was dominated by religious horror, probably because of The Conjuring and Paranormal Activity. I feel like with those two franchises and Insidious a little bit, like paranormal demons and exorcisms were just flooding the horror genre.
100%. Annabelle too, about a possessed doll. I mean, anything that can be possessed, I feel like falls under that genre.
Yeah, for sure. And I go back to that was my shit for a while. I would watch every movie that had to do with paranormal stuff. Again, it scares the shit out of me, but it was always like the best ghost stories came from that. So
What's crazy is when I was looking up religious horror movies, I kept seeing The Conjuring appear in the searches, and I never really thought of that as a religious horror movie, but I can see where you could get that from.
yeah, it's definitely there, probably more so rather than like really focusing on the religion side, they focus more on like the religious villain side with The Conjuring. You know, there's an evil witch, there's a killer nun, there's a possessed doll, there's possessed people. So very much like the evil that comes from Christianity views is what dominates the Conjuring universe, I would say.
Yeah, it's not that blatant in your face exorcism stuff with like Jesus bleeding out of his eyes and stuff like that.
But you, Roy, you brought up a movie that so I feel like it's probably obvious to say that the forefathers for religious horror movies are The Exorcist and The Omen.
When
Like
the nun hangs herself off the school.
oh God,
Crazy.
that scene is so terrifying. To
Oh, it was traumatizing.
the Omen, the original Omen to this day, I find to be absolutely terrifying. And
What's that kid?
it's not because of the demon or the little kid. Honestly, for me, it was the fucking nanny.
Yes. Yes, agreed.
She is
And it
so
holds up so
scary.
well. It's so scary still.
It's her facial expressions and the way she does things. It's so terrifying. But yeah, I feel like that's probably where it all began, because I think, you know, The Exorcist made people who weren't religious kind of start to think about that type of stuff because they had never experienced it before. You know, and people talk about The Exorcist all the time, like, oh, it was like, it's cheesy now, but it was, you know, groundbreaking. We had never seen anything like it at the time. Although I will say, Roy and I did watch that last summer for an episode that never aired, but it's still quite terrifying.
Dude, The Exorcist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did
Oh,
not
yeah.
find it. That was the one movie my parents would not let me watch until I was like 15 or 16. And I've watched it. I mean, I watched it. I watched all the Stephen King movies. And then when I finally saw this, I was like, I mean, the effects are great. Like, I do think they hold up, but it wasn't as scary as I wanted it to be, maybe because there was too much hype. But my mom told me that when she first saw the movie, all the news stories were dominated by people thinking their kids were possessed. And it really caused a lot of, I don't know, trauma in society for sure.
Yeah, it definitely turned pop
Viggy's like, I wanted
culture.
to see a demon rip out a Reagan. What the fuck?
Did
It
disappointing.
definitely turned pop culture on its head, that's for sure. Yes, The Exorcist, really when the demons start showing itself, it's quite campy, but the build up into it is what I found to be scary. I do laugh every time I watch The Exorcist because at one point Father Karras gets frustrated after the elder priest dies, and then there's just that, you son of a bitch, and he just starts beating up the possessed girl. It's like, okay, well, apparently you don't need an exorcism. You can just beat the shit out of it.
Whatever works, right?
Yeah. And then,
When prayers don't work, fists will.
God,
It's
that
gonna be
sounds
the
like a
tagline.
horrible, like, exorcism action movie.
Oh, now I'm thinking. Now I got the gears turning.
Well, while you think about that, what are Viggy, what are some religious horror movies that you kind of go to? Like, what are some of your favorites?
Rosemary's Baby. That one is
Oh,
great.
super freaky.
And one of the last ones that really gave me nightmares was The Witch. And I know a
Oh,
lot of
yes.
people are very split on that, but and I know there's some funny things like the whole Black Phillip with the creepy talking goat. I know some people just find that hilarious, but it really gave me nightmares. I don't know if it was because of kind of the atmosphere and the setting, the historical aspect, feeling so alien and isolated, but I think that was a very well done religious horror movie that wasn't in your face with the religion.
I
Gave
felt
you
like
like
nightmares and put me to sleep.
I felt like for me, The Witch, because The Witch was one of my favorite horror movies of the 2010s. Like, I think it is so good and so underrated. But I think for me, what is so terrifying about The Witch is what the religious themes are there, but it's more so what the religious side of things does to the family, like the way it turns them against each other, I think.
Yeah,
Like,
for sure. I mean, it kind of gives like a more meta commentary about religion in that way, which I think is more interesting than just being like, hey, there's a demon and it's scary and we can do an exorcism and maybe we'll save the child, maybe we won't. It's much more interesting to give a commentary like that.
And spoiler alert, it does not save the kids.
No.
I did like that one on my second watch through, and I thought it was really cool how they had Satan appear as a human, and he's just like all dressed in black, and he I don't know. It was a lot cooler the second time I saw it. Be a lot cooler if you did.
But yeah,
Dazed and Confused.
the Witch is a very. I did see that one on the list, and I actually saw that in theaters, and people were booing at the end of the screening. I was like, "You guys are stupid."
That in theaters too, but nobody was booing. Maybe they fell asleep. I don't know. I didn't.
Another one that popped up that I thought was kind of interesting, but I think it goes back to being more about belief systems more so than like classic exorcism demon was Midsommar.
Oh, good one.
I could see that.
You know, not focused on a monster or anything, but focused on this kind of cult that has their belief system that they inflict upon, you know, this woman and her friends and her lover.
I think that's also a good example of, like you were saying before, of the movies that are branching out from Christianity as far as religious horror goes. This incorporated more like Scandinavian folk religions into it than it did anything.
And then I know Immaculate was a big hit last year. I actually have not seen that. Is that worth a watch, Biggie?
I have a lot of thoughts about Immaculate.
Okay.
I thought it was
No.
interesting. I don't want to be mean, but the ending, I just, as a science person, I found like almost insultingly unrealistic.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe I don't want to give you any spoilers, but
Sure.
you know, if you watch it, I would like to know your opinion because that as
Okay.
soon as they started talking about what was really going on, I was like, no, that's not possible. I'm done. I'm out. Not scary. No.
Okay. Well, Roy, we might not to copy our dudes in Reviewed to Death, but maybe we need to do an episode on that at some point. Which, quick plug right now for those listening, go check out Viggy on our boys' show Reviewed to Death, where they talk about Immaculate.
Tell Marcus and Luke we say hi.
Yeah.
I never talk to those guys.
Yeah, not at all. There's definitely not a bunch of messages in my phone right now. But yeah, no, I wanted to see that one because I think if I remember correctly, Bonnie Ahrens, who plays the nun from the Conjuring universe, is in it.
If she is, I don't know which one she was. I don't know, maybe.
And then Roy, correct me if I'm wrong, but did our, because another one that popped up that I regretfully have not seen, I actually own it and still haven't had time to watch it, is Saint Maud.
I've never heard of that one. I
I
remember
think
the show from the 70s, Maud, and then there's Maud.
I think Reviewed to Death did an episode on this one and they loved it. So I'm gonna they'll probably text us as soon as they hear this episode.
Is it a newer movie?
Yeah, it's from, it says 2019 on Google, but I think it came out, like, was released widely later.
Maud. Ugh.
I haven't seen it either, but I've heard great things. It's on my list.
Yeah. And then
I
another one.
almost watched Immaculate. I was either going to watch that or Exorcist 3, and Immaculate I could only find for like $3, but Exorcist 3 was free, so I went with that one.
Well,
Why
I think Immaculate might be better than The Exorcist 3.
Oh, all right. Those
Oh.
are fighting words.
Jeez. Are they?
Yeah, Exorcist 3 was awesome.
I haven't seen it. I know Brad Dourif's in it, and I know the hospital scare.
Oh,
Yes,
yeah.
that's the scariest part. And
Another
that's it.
one that popped up on the list that is definitely themed in religion, but I don't know if it's a horror movie though. Have you guys seen Mother with
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Unfortunately.
I don't think I have. I know about it, but I don't think I've seen it.
It's correct me if I'm wrong, Viggy, but it's definitely religious themed, but
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's a horror movie.
I would call it horror. I would. I just thought it was, I don't know, it almost seems silly at the end. So I don't know. I get tired of the whole Mother Mary idea in religious horror. It's just been overdone, and that's what that gave me. So I wasn't here for it.
Mother's a fucked up movie, I can tell you that much. It's definitely not a fun watch at all. But
Is that the one that's like Mommy Dearest and she beats the girl with a clothes hanger, or is that a different movie? I think that was just called Mommy Dearest. It's
yeah.
an old one.
Mother is Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. They're a man and woman that are married, and slowly, like, more people just start coming into their house. And when more people arrive in their house, like, violence ensues and a bunch of crazy shit happens. It's essentially like
So it's
you're
like the house parties I used to go to.
I
Well, you're
hope
probably.
not. Yeah,
Yeah,
no.
definitely
You're probably not going to watch it, Roy, so I'll just tell you the whole movie
not.
is like a visual representation of, how would you describe this, Vicky? It's like a biblical telling of man destroying the earth that God created.
Yeah, kind of a fever dream version of that, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah,
I like fever
and
dreams.
the mother is
Talk about
like
that. Not this one.
the mother Jennifer Lawrence is playing is like Mother Earth.
Huh.
So it's very, very strange. And
Some
fucked up. So,
straightforwardness right there.
yeah. And again,
What's her
very
name in the
fucked.
movie, Gaia?
Nope, I don't remember what it is, but yeah, very fucked up movie. So I thought that was a weird choice to pop up on here. One that I completely forget about all the time, but is a great 70s throwback, is The House of the Devil.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's director Ty West, who went on to do X, Pearl, and Maxine.
Oh,
And
cool.
it's like a young woman gets hired on to be like a caretaker at a creepy house, and then spoiler alert, the family that lives there has like a demon upstairs and is trying to sacrifice her to it.
That sounds great.
Yeah, very 70s throwback. It's actually a really, really good movie.
That all makes me think of Late Night with the Devil, all about a possession on TV.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up. Have you seen that one, Viggy?
I have not, but I'm writing that one down too.
Oh,
Is it
yeah,
worth writing down?
definitely.
Oh
Yes. Oh my
yes.
God.
That was Roy, correct me if I'm wrong. That's your favorite horror movie from last year, right?
It is. Yeah, that was amazing. It was
You want
everything I wanted.
to talk about the setup for that one? Like what the movie's about?
Sure. So it's about a talk show host in the 1970s. His show is tanking. Like Johnny Carson is just crushing him in the ratings. So his show, the episode on Halloween, he brings on a possessed girl who grew up in like the satanic cult. And they're going to try to do a. They either want her to bring the demon out on TV or they're going to try a live exorcism during the broadcast. And, yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but it's really good.
I'm definitely going to watch that, so please no spoilers. That
It's
sounds awesome. It's
amazing.
my
mom, Viggy, is very picky about horror movies because they scare her. That one she loved. Like she came on and did an episode with us. She was that much about it, so it was pretty awesome.
Okay, I put stars next to it in my notebook.
Yes, and possessed question mark because the whole time you're questioning, is she possessed or is this all just some kind of elaborate hoax? It's really good. It's really good.
That's so good.
So I wanted to ask you about another one you mentioned, Viggy, because I actually have not seen this one. As classic as it is, I've never seen Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, it is. I mean, it. You need to watch that right now. Like, as soon as we're done here, go watch that.
Yeah.
It was excellent. I mean, the last line in the movie is one of the best I've ever seen. And you know the premise, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, she gets pregnant and, you know, scary things happen. I don't know if I should spoil it, but most people know, right, that that is.
I think so. I think
Yeah.
I actually know. It's one of those movies that's so ingrained in pop culture that I think I know the last line of Rosemary's Baby. I just, yeah.
It's just been revoked. That was actually Die Hard 3. No, I saw Rosemary's Baby when I was probably in junior high, and I remember my brother telling me about how scary it was. And yeah, it didn't disappoint. And now we have this neighbor, and there's a bunch of different people that are always at her house, and there's weird stuff happening in my house. So we always say they're doing Rosemary's Baby shit over there.
I think I've seen a knockoff of Rosemary's Baby, which is not a great movie. It's called Devil's Due.
The devil's due date.
So you've seen that and not Rosemary's Baby.
What are you doing?
So, well, funny, Roy. Roy, well, actually, this is a good segue. Have either, Roy, I think you have, but Viggy, I've not asked you about this. Mike Flanagan's Midnight Mass, the show.
Oh,
I have not
yeah.
seen it. I've heard really good things, but I haven't seen it.
Put
Oh,
that on
it's
the list, too.
excellent. So, Roy Riley from Midnight Mass is in Devil's Due.
Is he the main guy that kills the people in the drunk driving accident? That's not a spoiler. It's like the first
From
5 minutes.
Midnight Mass, yes.
Yes. Yeah, Viggy, go watch that. It's an amazing
Writing that
religious
one
horror.
down too.
But
Thanks.
there's also a little bit of a twist.
I love a twist.
Oh, so to give you no spoilers, but just a cool like enticement to watch it, Viggy. Midnight Mass does something that I think is brilliant that is so hard to do, but they pull it off. The show starts off very, very slow, very, very heavily about religion. Basically, this guy, as Roy said, was, you know, hit rock bottom. He was in a DUI, he killed someone by accident. So he goes back to his home, like island that his family lives on. And there it's like everybody knows everybody. There's one church that they all go to. And it's kind of like people being like, well, you strayed away from the faith. So now that you're back, you need to make amends and, you know, go to church and this, and this. But some weird miracles start happening at the church. And that is basically the setup without spoilers. But the show hides what type of horror it is for like, up until like just halfway into the show. Like it's amazing when you realize what is happening.
Okay, I mean, I'll put a star next to that one too. You
And
guys are eating up so much of my time with all these suggestions, but I love it.
it's quick too. It's only like 7 episodes too. It's just a mini
Yeah,
series.
it's not bad. I watched it in like 3 days and I'm
Okay.
horrible at watching TV. Hey, speaking of Midnight Mass, something that does that I think The Mist also does really well. Is that it shows how people can get caught up in this religious fervor in times of like desperation. Like in The Mist, they have that lady who's super religious and she gets all of her people, and then the normal people are over here, and then the super religious people are calling them heretics, and we need to sacrifice them to the monsters in the mist. And I think that demonstrates really well how people can just get so swept away in all that stuff that they become crazy, pretty much.
Totally.
Yeah, the Mist, Carmoni, I think is her name in that movie, the religious fanatic, she is terrifying.
Yeah, dude, she's worse than the monsters.
Yeah, and so realistic too. I mean, you know, that's a very small scale like religious oppression instance, and it's very, very terrifying.
Yeah, I'd rather fight off those pterodactyl things trying to get some Dimetapp.
Viggy, are you pro The Mist? I know a lot of people are kind of divided on
What?
that
Why are
one.
people divided on the mist? It's
Very
fucking
pro The
awesome.
Mist.
Okay,
Very
Oh,
good.
yeah. See, I knew I liked you.
It's because of the ending, Roy.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Such a
The
good
ending's
ending.
amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I know we think that, but a lot of people don't like the way it ends.
What do they want? A happily ever after? What is this? Fucking
I
Cinderella?
hate happy endings in horror. Like, what do we even do here if everybody's happy at the end? This was not horror if it's happy.
They speak my kind of language now.
I think I have an inclination on where your books might be going then, Viggy.
No spoilers.
But I'm trying to think what else. I mean, we mentioned it, but like, what's everybody's take on the Conjuring universe?
I loved the first one. I actually thought that was very scary. The
Yep.
second one was pretty
Shit.
good. And then I didn't care for The Nun. I didn't even finish it. Just didn't find it scary. Because I feel like that style of film at first was so cool, like the way they shoot the monsters and kind of the darkness, very effective. But once you've seen one, it feels like you've seen all of them.
Pretty much. Yeah, no, The Conjuring, the original Conjuring, I saw that summer that it came out with a packed theater, and holy shit, people were losing their minds in terror, myself included. That movie scared the hell out of me. And still does. The Conjuring 2 is also very good, but it's just slightly below the first one for me. But I think that for me, the Conjuring universe, yeah, they get more ridiculous as they go on. But there's definitely still some gems in there. I actually think Annabelle Creation is like a super underrated horror flick. And but like it realistically, they're like none of them are like bad movies in my mind. So if someone was like, hey, you got to sit down and watch any one of the Conjurings, like just pick one, I would not be upset.
Yeah, agreed. They're kind of interchangeable. And again, they're like you said, none of them are bad, but none of them, except for the first one, were super groundbreaking.
Yeah, I've seen every single one except for Annabelle Comes Home. I've tried to start it like three times and just keep getting distracted and haven't finished it.
How many Annabelle movies are there?
Three.
That's a lot of
Like
Annabelle movies.
there are currently there's another one coming, but there are currently three Conjuring films, three Annabelle films, two Nuns, and then a Curse of La Llorona that I don't know why they put it there, but
Oh yeah.
kind
So
of.
I saw the first Conjuring in theaters. That was
Okay.
amazing. But I'll probably never watch it again because I've heard stuff about people who view it in their own homes and freaky stuff starts happening, like doors opening and closing. So, my whole take on what's out there is I don't know what's out there, but I'm not gonna fuck with it and get damned for eternity. So that was a one and done for me. Conjuring 2, I liked it. The Thin Man, super creepy. Never saw the third one, never saw any of the nuns, but the first
Wait,
Annabelle.
what did you call
Huh?
him? What did you call the
What?
guy from
Is he
Conjuring
the
2?
thin? Is he the Thin Man?
Oh, it's
The
the crooked man. The
Crooked
crooked
Man.
man. You knew it was a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
I got half.
thin man. That's like, I don't know,
The
sounds
Thin
like
Man is
a
something.
gym plug.
No, the Thin Man is something. I just forget what he is. But
Sounds like a Stephen
he's.
King noir type thing.
Oh, maybe I'll write the Thin Man.
Thinner.
Maybe I'm thinking of Slender Man. Fuck me.
Oh, God.
But Annabelle, the first one, I was skeptical going into that. I was like, this is gonna be like some Chucky bullshit. And then I loved the direction they took with it, where the doll doesn't come alive and kill people. It's just like a vessel for something more evil. And I think that worked so much better than having some cheesy doll going around hacking people up.
Yeah.
Agreed. There's a time and place for those, though, but that was not that time or place.
Chucky used to scare me when I was a kid. Nowadays, I'm just like, it's a fucking doll. Kick the thing out the window.
Punt it. You know,
Yeah.
you say that, but I don't like dolls. I don't want them in my house. I don't
No.
enjoy them at all.
Have you seen that island of dolls with all like
Yes.
the oh,
I
want to
would
go there
go there.
sometime?
I just wouldn't want to stay there.
Just there for a brief visit.
Yeah, seems like.
So another one I want to call attention to, that I find also to be criminally underrated, and probably because of the director that had something. He didn't direct it, I don't think, but he had like a producer credit or something or a writing credit. But again, surprisingly, really good religious horror movie, Devil, M. Night Shyamalan's.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to bring
Remind me
this
of the
up.
plot because I feel like I saw that, but I can't remember. There are too many movies with the devil in them.
So it takes
Devil.
place in Philly.
Yeah, take that, Roy. Does it?
Oh, yeah, all of his movies take place in either Philly or Harrisburg or somewhere in Pennsylvania
Okay, I
because he's
did
from
not.
around there.
Okay, I did not know that. But yeah,
Dude, the movie Split, they kidnap people at the King of Prussia Mall. I used to go there every week on my lunch break.
Jesus.
Anyway. Devil, yes. So it's about
Was
a
like,
group
I'm
of
just gonna
people.
wait for you to start talking.
I was having a moment. So we start out with a group of people in a skyscraper in Philadelphia. They get stuck in an elevator, and I believe a bunch of weird shit starts happening, and they're trying to figure out who exactly is possessed by the devil.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I did see that. I remember that now.
And I
We went
believe.
to see it in theaters and we're like trashing it, like, oh, it's gonna be so stupid, blah, blah, blah. And we left like, oh damn, that was actually pretty
It
creepy.
has a
It was
really
pretty
cool
cool.
twist. And I believe it ties into like all of them are there because they're all like
Horrible people.
horrible people, sinners, like doing different of different types of the deadly sins and whatnot.
I'm surprised I never got trapped on an elevator in Philly, though. I have been trapped in an elevator before, and it made all my phobias about elevators come true.
Elevators.
It's like an alligator that also functions as an elevator. It's pretty cool. You should test it out.
Can we make that a movie, please?
The
I'd watch that.
dude, Reviewed to Death did a movie about an elevator that eats people.
No
Oh,
way.
is that
Yeah.
Down?
It
Was way too ready with that.
How many killer elevator movies are there, man?
I don't
I'm so
know.
here for inanimate objects killing
Yes.
people. Like, did you guys ever see Rubber? It's not religious horror, but it's about
Oh,
a
is that
killer.
the I was gonna say I've never seen it, but I know of it.
Explodes people with its non-mind.
Oh, that's amazing. I always remember the one Family Guy episode. They're trying to write different horror stories because they're like, if Stephen King can do it, we can do it. And they come up with a killer bar of soap.
What?
Yes, I remember that. That was funny.
Ambassador
Oh.
Mombasa?
Oh my Lord. Wow.
Anyway.
So back to religious horror. Can we, I guess this one is kind of an action movie, but definitely religious horror in there. Constantine.
Oh my
Did we
God.
do that one?
Oh,
Was it good?
I like it a lot. I did not know when I saw it that it's a DC Comics film. But I'm a big Keanu Reeves fan, so it's pretty awesome. It's kind of like more of an action movie than a horror movie, but it has some horror elements in there for sure.
So when I thought of Constantine, I also thought of Legion. Do you remember
I was hoping someone was going to bring that up. Yes, the Paul
that
Bettany one.
one? Viggy, have you ever seen Legion?
I have not.
Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong. This is one of the movies I watched late at night after an episode of Monday Night Raw. But isn't it a bunch of people trapped in a
This.
bar?
Wait, 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 wait. That
What?
made me laugh because that movie is so appropriate to play after Monday Night Raw. Like, that's where, like, just bad action movies go to die, is right after Monday Night Raw.
Well, here's a real blast from the past. Monday Night Raw used to be followed by the Mortal Kombat live action TV series.
Oh, my God.
That was the perfect segue.
So.
But isn't Legion where a bunch of people are trapped in like a bar or a diner and all these this demonic army is descending and one's an angel?
Yes, so
Okay.
the premise for this
I
one,
love how I threw this movie on. I'm like, wait, is this what it's about?
the premise for
Just
this
throwing out
one,
titles.
the premise
The
for this
Exorcist
one,
2! Poltergeist!
oh my goodness.
Somebody take me
So
away.
the premise for this one, Viggy, is yes, a bunch of people are at a diner. I believe Dennis Quaid is in it, and it's Paul Bettany as well. And essentially, all these people are gathered at a diner. And this one, like, you wouldn't take a second look, just normal workaday, like, waitress is there. She's pregnant, and God has lost his faith in humanity, just views them as lost creations.
I don't blame him.
So he sends down angels, which are, for some reason, really scary when they take over people, to, like, they have the wide open mouth, screaming face about them.
Like the really old guys that have that look on their
Yes.
face. Like,
But he sends down angels to essentially put an end to the earth. And but Paul Bettany plays I forget what angel. Hold on, I'm gonna tell you right now because it's important to the plot.
is it Michael the Archangel?
Yes, you got me. You got it.
Ah.
Yeah, Michael, and he essentially ends up going up against Gabriel too later
Oh.
on. But Michael knows that the child that she's pregnant with is going to restore God's faith in humanity. So it's like a siege movie where angels are trying to like get into the diner to kill this woman and her child, and Michael is there to defend the savior of mankind, basically.
Okay, that sounds pretty interesting. Adding that to my list as well.
There's an iconic scene from the trailer where the waitress is asking like this old woman, "Can I get anything else?" And she's like, "Oh, like you shouldn't be working. What about the baby?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm fine." And the woman just all of a sudden turns and says, "But it's gonna burn. I said your fucking baby's gonna burn." And
Oh.
then she turns out to be an angel and tries to attack them.
Seems like not the job that angels are supposed to do.
No, it's very, very backwards.
Have you guys
But
seen the depictions of like what angels are supposed to look like the wheels with the wings and the eyeballs and stuff?
I
Oh
have, but that
yeah,
sounds horrifying.
there's like apparently different levels of them, and like the cherubs are the ones you think of that look like Cupid, and then there's ones that are just like harbingers, which are like the muscular blonde angels, and then you have like the weird looking things that are like the wheels and the eyes with wings and stuff. It's pretty interesting stuff.
So another one that's almost like a thriller. Have either of y'all seen Frailty?
No, I haven't even heard of that one.
Ooh.
That is Bill Paxton and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
And it's like a thriller, but it's got a huge religious aspect to it. Long story short, Matthew McConaughey goes into a police station to confess about there's been this series of killings, and he goes to tell the story of how he knows who the killer is. And he flashes back, and him and his brother were raised up by Bill Paxton as kids, and Bill Paxton believes he received a vision from an angel saying, "Demons are walking among us. You need to kill these certain people to like banish the demons from the world." And the sons get brought into that plot as well. So it's an interesting little thriller with again a really cool twist.
I like that.
I think that you told me about that one because the plot sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent movie. And again, a very unexpected twist. Another one I've seen popping up here. I can't really speak on this one because I've never seen the original that actually is about faith. I've only seen the remake that has to do with bees and honey, The Wicker Man.
Hey.
Oh, I haven't
Oh.
seen that.
I've only seen the remake.
The Nicolas Cage one has nothing to do with religion. Well, it has a cult, like something of a cult in it, so I guess it kind of does, but the original one I believe is more about like Christianity versus paganism.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right on that one. Do people look at you guys weird when you're like, "Yeah, I never saw the original Wicker Man," because people are like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I don't know. It was fucking
Nobody in my life is
1975."
really into horror, so they're like, "I don't know what you're talking about. Please go somewhere else."
Go back to your room, Viggy.
pretty much.
Another one that's popping up is I guess has to I've also never seen this one for some reason, so don't hang me by my toes, listeners. Children of the Corn.
I love Children of the Corn.
Have you watched the like 17 of them that there are, or just the original?
Just the original. I mean, that one was gold, so I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the sequel, so if I haven't heard anything, that's probably not a good sign.
But do you recommend, I don't know where people stand on Children of the Corn. Do they view it as like a really good Stephen King movie?
I do. Yeah, no, the main child actor is so creepy. And yeah, maybe the special effects are not the best, but I thought the acting was good. And again, children, when they're, creepy and they're done well, very effective.
Okay. I've been in a couple cons with Malachi from Children of the Corn, but I've never seen the movie, so I've never met him. But I went and met somebody like next to him. So I've seen him around at cons.
Oh yeah, no, that's another example of that movie of kind of religious fervor pushing you to do things. I mean, it's not giving any spoilers away to say the kids are called by this god that's in the corn to kill all of their parents so that they can go be with the god in the corn without their, the parents interfering. And I mean, obviously that's something that children do not normally do. So hopefully. So I think again, that's a good example of, if you have something powerful, people will follow it and it can lead them to do really horrible things.
What if the God of the Corn's just like a guy in a corn cob mascot outfit? That's the big spoiler.
That's the parody version.
Is that going to be like going to be a new like Hard Eyes style movie called Corn Eyes?
That wouldn't be a bad
Or
idea.
no, make it cornier so it's like a pun.
The Children of the Cornier. I know everyone in Ohio looks like they're out of the fucking
Woo.
Children of the Corn. They all look the same.
Speaking of Stephen King, Carrie pops up in here.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah,
All
that.
well, yeah, there are like four of them now.
I. What?
Yeah,
There are at
there's
least two remakes that I know of. Yep,
Oh, yeah, I
there's.
did know there was a remake. One. I didn't
I
know that.
think you're on the nail with there being four because there's Carrie, The Rage, Carrie 2, there's a TV remake of Carrie, and then there's the 2013 one. The
Why?
original is still the best.
It
I mean,
is,
I
yeah.
don't know why you would remake it. It's so good.
It took me
The
a
original
while
is good.
to appreciate the original 70s Carrie because I like I've talked about this on the show a good bit, Viggy, but when I first got into horror similar to The Exorcist, I was also let down by it because I read the book and was scared shitless by The Exorcist book, and then the movie was just boring to me. So I didn't really like 70s horror for a long time, and now I find it to be like just one of the most innovative decades in horror.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love 70s and 80s horror. I feel like even bad 70s or 80s horror is better than some stuff that's coming out now.
I find like the another kind of religious one, the original Amityville Horror, I find to be one of the scariest movies ever made.
Also, the book was terrifying. And I'm sad that was all turned out to be like a hoax because that was scary.
Yeah, that the stuff that they said they experienced in that house is fucking terrifying.
Marching band in the living room, that's the one that freaked me out the most.
The creepy little pig named Jody with the eyes, that
The
freaked me
seeing the red eyes in the window.
out.
Or
Did you guys
the
like the remake?
Yeah, I
Which
did.
one? Amityville? There was a remake in like 05, 06, I
I think
want
I
to
saw
say.
that one too. I still lean towards the original.
Oh yeah,
Have
for
you seen
sure.
the have you seen any of the sequels, like the second one that focuses on the kid that does get possessed and kill his entire family? That's a messed up movie.
I have not. Is it worth watching?
From what I remember, okay, so we used to have all the movie channels, and one was Showtime Beyond, and they would show all these old school horror movies. So I saw like all the Amityville horror movies, all the Poltergeist, all the Exorcist movies, but it was like 20 years ago now. So from what I remember, I believe it is Amityville 2 that focuses on that premise. And if that's the one, I would say yes.
Okay. Another thing
Yeah.
to add to my very
Say
long
yes to the dress and say
talk
yes to
of
the demonic possession.
Amity,
I will
definitely
say yes
not.
to the demonic possession.
No, you
I drink a couple Four Locos, the devil shows up, make some deals.
Jesus, you're on
Sounds
your
good
own
at the
there.
time.
You're on your own there, buddy.
With the devil at the crossroads, I'm done.
Amityville Horror, talk about a franchise that should not be a franchise. Like, there are way too many Amityville movies, and there is one in space.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amityville in space.
I almost
What
want to watch
point?
that.
I kind of want to as well, just
I do
because
too.
I know it's gonna be so I kind of want to just watch it and have a good time.
At what point do you just throw in the town and admit you jumped the shark?
Well, I think that one was like an independent horror movie, but I've seen the trailer where it's like a severed hand on a string being moved around, and the spaceship house is like bad CGI. So it's
I do like that about independent horror movies, that they can just be so bonkers. Like, somebody sent me a picture the other day about the Velociraptor pastor or whatever. I'm just like, yeah, I
Oh, the
remember that
movie's
one.
so bad. That
I
sounds awesome.
know.
Velocip. Yeah.
Velocipastor,
Oh, it's so bad.
that
But like so
what
bad it's good, or just like so bad?
Oh, I couldn't even get through it. It's like it's a priest kind of having a faith crisis, I think, and
Hey, religious.
it's religious, yeah, so it's appropriate, but he fights ninjas by turning into an inflatable dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was wondering if maybe they just got bad CGI. No, it's a straight up inflatable rubber suit dinosaur that he gets into the costume in to fight in.
Oh, so he doesn't like transform into a velociraptor, literally.
Oh no, he does.
Oh, that's
But
the transformation.
but
Okay.
that's their effects, is a rubber suit dinosaur.
What a letdown.
I thought it was going to be like a Jurassic Park type scenario.
Right.
This movie was not going to be given that type of budget for like, hey, let's have a dinosaur fight ninjas.
So
It's not.
is it like one of those inflatable ones you can get at Party City, or is it like a shitty Godzilla rubber suit? Like, did they put any effort in?
Yeah, we need to know.
It looks like it could be a kaiju movie.
This is okay. This
I
isn't sounding
wonder
bad.
real quick if I can like screen share and find a picture of this. Hold
Oh,
on.
I did. It's even better than you described.
Here, Roy, I'll show this to you.
All right.
Dinosaur costume.
It almost looks like a topiary.
We are the topiary creatures.
All
I used to
right,
play
Roy.
this game, Pup Hut. They'd do it anyway.
Let me pull this bad boy up. And let me see. Can
I'm
I? All
waiting with bated breath.
right, let me
It's worth it.
share my screen real quick.
Every moment I don't see this is a moment my heart breaks.
All right, you ready?
Yes. Whoa, that actually looks really cool.
looks way cooler than you led us to believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
Kevin, you're selling a short on this guy. Look at that thing.
If you say so, y'all.
Fuck. I need
From the
it. And he's
vaults.
fighting.
Yeah, look at these ninja costumes too.
Yeah, they're awesome. I want to be one. They're like foot
Classic
soldiers
ninja.
from the Ninja Turtles.
Dude. Oh my god.
Yeah, this is right up my alley.
From the vaults of streaming hell, the Velocipastor. Roy, don't you
So,
dare, Roy, don't you dare pick that for an episode.
I mean,
Cause then I'll have to do it because you picked it.
that might just be a pleasure watch.
Jesus. Well, I think we've done quite a bit of talking about different movies in
Can I throw
religious
one out real
horror.
quick?
Yeah, go for it.
I have another one too. You go
Oh,
first.
go ahead, Viggy. You're the guest. Please.
Thank you. Prince of Darkness. You guys remember that one? John Carpenter. So, like, I loved it. Basically, there's a priest who's poking around in a church basement and finds a big vial of slime. And all these scientists come in to see what it is. And it's like the essence of Satan. And then it starts leaking. And they all, bad stuff ensues. It's
That's a no
so
shit
good. It's
moment.
so good. Yeah, I've never seen it, but I know of it. I know it definitely has a cult following, but anything John Carpenter usually does, I'm on board with. So when I watch it, which we will at some point probably do an episode on it, I'm probably gonna love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Did you ever have to deal with like satanic goo when you were at the CDC?
I did
Or can't
not,
you tell
but
us?
that might have been in a different biosafety level lab.
Ah, yes. Expert clearance.
Yes, the holy water and everything,
The
I
demon
understand.
goo department.
Demon goo.
What's your other movie, Roy?
Viggy, do you have any more?
No, that was my one.
Poltergeist 2 with that
Oh
creepy ass
yes.
preacher.
Okay, I changed my mind. That is my other one. Yes.
Well, tell us about
I was gonna say I Poltergeist did pop up into my mind, but I know it's like not, again, it goes back to that. That was an early one that's not like traditional ghosts or demons, like it's monsters and like spirits.
Yeah. I mean, I have to be honest. I think I saw this when I was like 6 and I was watching TV with my mom and she fell asleep, so I picked this. And I don't remember the story at all. I just remember that super creepy preacher. Definitely had nightmares about him. And I think he is underrated as a horror movie kind of like villain monster.
Yeah, Reverend Kane or something.
Yes, Reverend Cain.
I've said
And
again, only seen the original, so I did not make it to the Reverend, so I'll have to
oh
finish the
man.
I've seen the original and the remake honestly was not that good, so
Oh yeah.
maybe the sequels will be better.
Yeah, the dude's just so old and he has this voice that's like, oh, how you doing, family?
Exactly like that.
Exactly.
I was
I
gonna say,
actually
is
played him.
that you aged backwards?
I did. That's what I'm doing now.
God.
I'm just trying to, I'm throwing everything at the wall.
Okay, well,
Writing, podcasting, aging backwards. See what gets me attention. Please give
jeez.
me attention.
Well, I mean, we've listed off quite a few movies. I guess a question I kind of want to throw out there is, I mean, as far as religious horror goes, it's not necessarily like the most popular thing right now. Do you guys want to see it kind of, because everything goes in cycles, right? Like everything has its popularity rise and fall, and then kind of like just continues to come back. Do you guys want to see a resurgence of religious horror? And like, as long as maybe they're bringing something new to the table?
I definitely do. And I don't know about movies, but in books, there are a ton of religious horror books coming out this year.
Oh,
And not just my own, there are others too.
really?
And I don't know. I think that religious horror really has a moment whenever society is really divided, because I think a lot of people look to kind of religion for comfort and for inclusivity. And then because we like horror, horror has to take that and make it horrible. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more religious horror, which I am totally here for. I want to be scared. I'm looking for that movie that will make me scared.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would not mind seeing a resurgence to it as well. Again, I have a soft spot for it. Again, I just oh, you know what? I skipped over one real quick, but I'll go back to that in just a second. I have a soft spot for it. I just, like I don't mess with that stuff either. Like I just abstain from that. Based on my own beliefs, but I just like there's something really good, like they can tell really good, compelling stories with religious horror. And I feel like a themes of your beliefs and like overcoming challenges through your beliefs is kind of like a powerful message, and that's kind of what draws me to religious horror as well. And so I think that I would definitely like to see more. I would definitely like to see some new stuff to it, which it seems like we're getting with Heretic and, you know, some other stuff coming out with your book as well, Vicky. Obviously, I haven't read it yet, but we know you as a person, so we know that you know, you're looking to bring, you know, new stuff to the table as well. And so the movie that we did mention, but we didn't really discuss, and I think Roy also didn't say the title right. What was the
You mean I messed
exorcism?
something up?
I think you said the possession of, it's the exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So also a very creepy fucking movie.
I heard about the last exorcism that sounded pretty good. Like this alcoholic priest who like doesn't believe in anything anymore has to go to this house and figure out if this girl actually is possessed or if she's just been like abused horribly or something. It sounded pretty good. I never watched it though.
Yeah, there's also one called The Possession with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I think, is in it.
Is that Negan?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, you know what? There's another one that is not that great, but it's I'm chuckling because I'm like, we could probably just keep digging out new ones left and right, but not a great movie, but still very terrifying. The Devil Inside.
Think I did see that. Yes. It's like
It's
an old woman who's possessed.
Yes,
Yeah.
it's a woman who her mother killed a few people during an exorcism performed on her, and the daughter wants to help her mom, so she goes to Rome to visit her mom because they've got her locked up, and they're like, if you want to help your mother, you need a better understanding of exorcism, so they proceed to take her to exorcisms, which naturally that's going to go horribly wrong. So
It's not the place you want to intern at.
nope, I did meet there's a very iconic like contortionist type scene in that movie, Roy, where they uncover a girl that's possessed like under the blanket. I've met that contortionist that did that.
Man, that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Her name is Bonnie Morgan. She also plays Samara Morgan in The Ring 2 and Rings.
Whoa. Dude, contortionists, you gotta be like crazy flexible and in shape to do some of that stuff. Like, make yourself into a pretzel.
I'll have to send it to you guys. I have a picture with her where she's doing the Samara pose from The Ring, where her legs over her shoulder.
Oh,
Oh,
man.
awesome! So,
God.
but Roy, how
Hurts my
about you?
back just
You
thinking
wanna
about
you're gonna try that later, I'm sure. But Roy, what do you
once I
want with
stretch out my lumbar spine.
what do you think about religious horror? You want to see more of it, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'm always down for it. When I saw Heretic come out, I was like, man, I want to come to the theater and see that. And then I didn't. But yeah, I'm always down for religious horror. And like I said, it goes back to how I was brought up with that stuff ingrained in me. So it's always going to strike some type of chord. And I mean, even like, man, just like music videos from back then. Like, I think Losing My Religion, there was a Metallica video that dealt with religious imagery. It's always just has this weird feel to it. Like, I might not. Probably shouldn't be seeing this stuff. I'm gonna like get possessed. I hope not. Actually, if I would get possessed, I think that might be kind of cool because you could have like super strength.
Are you trying to do like a sales pitch on getting possessed, Roy? Because we're
No,
not
thank
doing
you.
that.
Not buying.
Hey, Satan, if you're listening, you know, my offer's open.
God, you sound like when I went to the
Pick
showing of
me,
the
is what I'm saying.
when I went to the showing of the original Conjuring, there was a girl sitting right next to me that when the mom got possessed, the girl said, "I want that to happen to me." And I could not want to get away from that person fast enough.
Yeah, but if you notice, it's always like the super religious people that get possessed because the demons are trying to prove a point. Like, I'm just some scumbag. They'd be like, nobody cares about him anyway.
You know, just the people that are riding with him and are on the podcast with him and are
Yeah,
friends or family of him and work out with him and like talk to him every day. Like, once you get possessed, Roy, it's just they just say, fuck Roy, we don't care.
I mean, would you want to deal with me if I was possessed? You don't want to. I wouldn't want to deal with me now.
And Oh God. Well,
Anyway, let's get to Vicky's questions.
So on that note, we're talking about wanting to see more religious horror, and we have that because our guest today, Vicky Parhampton, has a new book coming out on April 23rd. Is that right?
April 23rd.
And it is called The Rotting Room.
Yes.
All right. So, of course, without giving anything away, what can you tell us about kind of the conception of this book and, how it came to be and what people can expect?
Sure. So this is actually based in historical fact. This is a historical horror novel in like the 1800s or the 1700s, late 1700s is where I've said it. And I was reading an article in Atlas Obscura just randomly, and it was about this religious order called the Poor Clares of Ischia, Italy. And they had this practice where when one of their sisters died, they would put them in a room to slowly mummify. And there were these drains. It was like the room kind of looked like benches all around, but there were these holes in the benches. And they'd put the body there and it would drain. And then they would go and pray over the dead sisters as they mummified. And then when they did that, they would often get whatever disease killed the sister in the first place. That's historical fact. That's horrifying. I wanted to make it worse. So I wrote The Rotting Room. And I was thinking, okay, why, what might have happened here? What's the story around here? So in my book, it follows a young nun named Sister Raffaella who is trying to escape a pretty horrific past by coming to this new convent. But her new sisters have this disturbing burial practice similar to the Poor Clares, where they put their dead in, I called it a rotting room. And she has to kind of decide if the nuns are, they have some miracles going on or if they're purely evil. So this is kind of a gothic, supernatural, demonic possession, historical horror novel based in history.
Based on that alone, Viggy, I think you're really gonna like Midnight Mass when you watch it, because there's
Right on.
definitely an element of that like mystery there. But yeah, that sounds incredible. And did you wrote this one as well around 2019, 2020, 2021 era?
This one, I believe, was like 2020 or 2021. It started out as a novella and then I lengthened it into a novel. And I've been working on this one for like 3 years.
Oh wow. And going you've released, the other two books so far. Is this one, would you say that this is kind of a continuation of like your writing style and your storytelling, or do you see this as like kind of a change of pace?
Both. I think it's very much a change of pace because it's gothic, it's historical, it's religious, kind of themes I haven't really tackled before. But I think if you're reading it, you'll still know I wrote it, if that makes sense. I think it's still got kind of my style and brand. There's no humor like there were in my previous two books. This is just scary because, as we all know, demons scare me. So I wanted to write something that would scare me. So I was just like, what is the scariest story I can tell? I hope
Perfect.
it gives you nightmares, and I mean that in the nicest way.
Well, put that like how they have the like the foreword in there. You can just write that at the end. I hope this book gives you nightmares.
Exactly.
And then kind of the last question I had before I'll throw it over to Roy is we just talked, about like religious horror dealing with belief systems of any kind and like kind of overcoming, challenges through that or, looking inward at your own beliefs. With this story, like, are you looking to tackle, looking inwardly at these characters' belief systems and, exploring that faith and the belief system there? Or are you wanting to just kind of tell a fun story with that type of iconography and characters in it? What's kind of the goal there?
I would say the goal, I mean, obviously it explores themes of religion. And the way I was thinking about it is just because you're religious does not make you a good person. And I wanted to kind of use religion to also explore themes about like authority and insecurity, because I think a lot of times we place our trust in people who don't have our best interests at heart. And oftentimes that can be religious authority figures. So I wanted to create a character who is struggling to trust herself and the evidence of her own senses. And she is questioning her belief system. She definitely is, but it's more about the strength of her character and less about the beliefs themselves.
Very, very cool. Fantastic. I can't wait to read it. And Roy, you got some questions for Viggy?
I do actually. I came prepared.
All right.
So, Viggy, I know you said this is historical fiction. I'm sure Kevin and I can both appreciate that, having studied history. How much research did you have to do on this time period or the Catholic religion that went into this book?
A ton for both of those aspects. I mean, before this, the most historical thing I wrote was in the 70s. So having to place something in like the late 1700s, early 1800s, I did a ton of research. I mean, things that you don't think about, like what were buckets made out of? And it's also set in Spain. So I had to think, what would have been around in Spain at that time? What food would they have eaten? And then also the religious, I mean, I made up this religious order, but I kind of based it on a cloistered sisterhood that has a vow of silence. So they can only speak for 1 hour out of the entire day besides confession and prayers. And I wanted to make it feel really claustrophobic and as authentic as possible. I actually even hired a religious scholar to review it and make sure the religious aspects were as accurate as possible because
Man.
I really, really care about authenticity. And my dad also studied history, so he gave this a really good proofreading. But yeah, I had to do a ton of research and a lot of things that you don't think about that if you didn't know, it probably wouldn't even bother you, but I care. So I made sure to make it as accurate as possible, but it was a lot of work, which is why I worked on it for like 3 years.
That's awesome to hear that kind of attention to detail that went into it and just all the effort, like. Man, so did it make it difficult only having these sisters be able to speak for an hour? Did it make it a little tougher to write dialogue, or did you find it was okay because you still had that hour where they could speak to each other?
Both. I mean, it was a challenge. I wrote it in the first person, so that made things a little bit easier. But yeah, no, it was a challenge. But I think I did that on purpose because I wanted to make it a really claustrophobic environment because the main character does not know what's going on at this convent, and I wanted to make it very difficult for her to find out. The best way to do that is if nobody can talk to you, you're not finding anything out, or you have to go find it out yourself. So I think that really heightened the tension and the suspense, even though it was a bit of a narrative challenge.
Now, I know when I was on your podcast, the Horror Humor Hunger podcast, shout out, you said about your writing historical fiction. Was this the one you were talking about?
This is the one I was talking about.
Nice. Now, was there anything that made you want to set it in this time period?
I wanted kind of that gothic element, and I know that there are a lot of, contemporary gothics, but when I think of gothic, I think of like crumbling buildings, kind of windswept, isolated, creepy, and I wanted to really challenge myself as a writer too. And also, I didn't want there to be any modern technology. I wanted a good old-fashioned creepy story. And like I said, I wanted to challenge myself, and I definitely did.
Now, I know you said you're working on your next manuscript. You had a few short stories that you've written throughout these different novel cycles. Are you ever going to compile those short stories and maybe put them together in a compilation? Like, what can we expect next from you? Like next month, probably.
Have thought about that, but my stories, like for some anthologies I've submitted to, they're themed, so they don't necessarily go together. I have thought about it, and that might be something I do in the future, but I feel like a lot of the stories I'm writing now, they want to be novels, they want to be longer, and I really like doing that. So maybe at some point, but I'm hoping that this next book will be either a long novella or a short novel. That's what it's looking like, and I'm hoping I can get that out either late this year or early next year.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's about? Or is that top secret?
No, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the very bare bones premise
Okay.
because it's going to have a really huge twist that I don't want to give any spoilers about. This is pseudo historical fiction. It's set in like the early 60s, at least in the beginning. And it's about a patient who receives a transorbital lobotomy, which, again, this is an instance of history being plenty gruesome and me just wanting to make it worse because there aren't that many stories about lobotomies. And I mean, I think it's a horrifying medical procedure. And as you know, I like medical horror. So this is another kind of different direction for me in terms of the time period and the characterization. And it's not supernatural. So it'll be really different. And I'm having a lot of fun writing it.
Nice. I'll just do one more because I know we're getting down to time crunch. But like we talked about in the beginning, like you have been everywhere. You're on TV, you're different author events. I remember when you were on here before you put out your first book, I was like, "Oh, you prepared for marketing?" And you're like, "Yeah, I got this." And I'm like, "Yeah, she does." What would you say is the best, or maybe some of the best practices you've seen to just get the word out about your book? Because I know a lot of authors really struggle in that area, as far as just telling people what they're writing.
You have to not be self-conscious. I mean, like you said, I think a lot of people are so tired of saying, I have a book, I have a book, I have a book. But you have to remember that some people might not have seen you before. Or I also heard you have to tell somebody something like 7 times before it sticks. So you have to not be self-conscious about that. And I also think bringing humor into it can really help, or telling people in different ways. So like I make stickers for my books that based on the themes, or I have a very funny video that will come out probably next week related to the Rotting Room. So I think using different ways to tell people, and like you said, I do a little press tour whenever a book comes out. I actually have an interview tomorrow, and I think that's a good way of getting the word out, because you never know, if you reach even one reader, they might love it, tell somebody else, and then it goes from there.
Yeah. And I do like your humorous videos. I think there was one you made. It was like when your mom is telling people about your book.
She
Do you
loved
remember
that one so much. She helped me film
that
that. She's like, "Are you going to do a part two?" She really liked
one?
that. I'm not kidding. She really liked that.
All
Beautiful.
right.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
Yeah. Oh shit, I forgot to do horror news. Well, we had Viggy on. She took the spot of horror news. Thank you,
That's
Viggy.
fine. This is
No
definitely horror news.
problem.
And Viggy, I know we're getting down to time crunch, like Roy said, but I feel like this is an important question to ask, because I know a lot of people that want to write and like tell the stories that are floating around in their head. But it's a lot easier said than done to kind of get started doing that. I kind of pulled the trigger early this year, where like January hit, and I had an idea for a short story that I've started writing. I wrote and finished a screenplay, and it really is just like diving into it, but I don't quite know how to word it to other people to get started when you want to get a story that's floating around in your head onto paper. Like Roy and I talk about this, when you want to do something, it's kind of just being fearless, I think. And I just kind of wanted to get your take on that, and just your advice for if someone really wants to write and tell any kind of story, not even just horror, and get it out there. Like, what's your best advice for just people getting started and going about doing so?
Well, besides the kind of cliche, read as much as you can, because that really helps, I'd say don't be a perfectionist. And this is something I struggle with too. I don't like editing. So when I'm writing, I'm thinking, I need to make this as perfect as possible. So I have to edit as little as possible. Let me tell you, every single time I end up rewriting huge chunks of the novels. And I have to remind myself this, if I'm writing and I'm like, man, that sucked, I think back on books that have come out already. I rewrote them several times over a period of years, and they don't start out perfect, and they shouldn't start out perfect. Everybody needs an editor. So I think if you can kind of forgive yourself and not expect like genius right there, then I think it's a lot easier to get started, because the stakes are low.
Beautiful. And so with that being said, thank you, Viggy, for joining us today. This has been a total blast. We will definitely have you back on for that horror through the decades, probably a series of episodes, because I feel like we're going to have to do a lot of research and a lot of different points that we're going to have to hit on. But in the meantime, we have The Rotting Room coming out at the end of the month, again on April, what is it? April what?
April 23rd.
April 23rd. I hesitated. I don't know why. But I want to get it right. So April 23rd, so coming out in just a few short weeks. You want to do your plugs real quick? Where can people pick up a copy of The Rotting Room, and where can they follow you on socials to see what you're up to?
Sure. So you can get The Rotting Room in ebook and paperback format everywhere. And for the first time, I have a hardcover version available, which is super awesome. It looks really cool. That's exclusive to Amazon. And then you can follow me on Instagram at Viggy Parhampton. I also have author Viggy Parhampton page on Facebook. I have a TikTok at Viggy Parhampton, not as active now because it was really sucking up my time, very addictive. But you should be able to find me there and at my website, viggyhampton.com.
Fantastic. Well, everybody listening, please go support Viggy. She's wonderful, very, very talented. Go pick up a copy of The Rotting Room. And you know what? Chime in on MTP's and Roy's, socials to let us know what you think of the book. I know we're going to be reading it and sharing it out on our socials as well. So we would love to start a great chat about our friend here. Viggy, also fun little note for you that I want to end on. There is a horror book club here. In Charleston, where I live, we're actually doing a live event with them at the end of the month. And they let their members like submit different books for like discussion. And I want to submit one of yours in their calendar, if not this year, then next year to discuss, to help you kind of get a boost down here in Charleston. So
I would love that. Also, I don't know if you know, I live in Savannah. If they want me to come in person, I'm so there.
oh, I would oh, we're
Nice.
definitely gonna be talking and making that happen then.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep in touch on that. But yeah.
Yay.
So Roy, would you like to plug where people can check you out and some of those great stories you're writing? Don't you dare downplay it. I see that look in your eye.
I don't know about great. Mediocre is pretty good
I knew you were gonna do that. You have that look in your eye. You're like, this is the self-loathing look.
No, I actually have Much Too Vulgar, Viggy's second book on the way. I told her between her and D. Arcane, our other horror author friend, they've put out like 7 books in the past year. I'm like, you guys gotta give me time here. I'm not that smart. I can't read that quick. But you can find me at author underscore Honeybrook on Instagram. There I have a link tree. You can find a link to all of my books on Amazon. They're all just 99 cents. While you're over on Instagram, be sure you check out the Bookstagram Beyondathon. I am pretty sure that's the handle at Bookstagram Beyondathon. And be sure you read. Be sure, like I'm telling people what the fuck to do. If you would like to, I also have a weekly horror column on TBM Horror. There I talk about the different movies we discuss here on the podcast, as well as different other things horror and metal related. Viggy was on there as a featured author, so thank you again for doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just a bunch of different stuff going on over there. Comes out every Monday morning, and I believe, oh, the one that's out now, it is on the episode we did on Insidious. I give a little bit more of my thoughts. And yeah, all that good stuff. So Instagram, Amazon, and TBM Horror. You can find me at any of those wonderful websites or your local service provider. I tried to be funny and it didn't work.
I
It's okay.
laughed.
We got your back, Roy.
What if I just logged off after that and see if.
And
Mic drop.
mic drop. Yes. Actually, don't do the mic drop because it'll cause an audio spike and I'll have to fix it.
Yeah, and I don't want to buy another microphone. I have like 4 here that don't work. Not because I'm like a rage addict. Well, maybe I am, but it's not because I intentionally break them.
Course
Okay,
not.
well, we'll believe you that we'll believe you on that for right now.
I've intentionally, like, I just had to throw out a water bottle because I slammed it on the floor. So, yeah, I did do that, but I
What
didn't.
did you throw out, Roy?
I had to throw out a water bottle because I slammed it on the floor the one night because I was pissed and then
The
it leaked everywhere. And
way you said it sounded like water bottle.
I mean, if I was really from Jersey, I would say a water bottle.
Yeah. There you go.
Water bottle.
Before Roy breaks another microphone, thank you everybody for listening to the Midnight Terrors podcast. We are just 2 weeks out right now as we're recording this from the 23rd when the Rotting Room drops. But when this comes out, it'll be the 13th, so just 10 short days away. Be sure to go support Viggy and go pick up a copy wherever you get your reading material, and check out all of her socials. Seriously, she's so funny and so nice on there, and in person, as you heard on the episode. So be sure to
No, she's only like
support.
that on social
Yeah,
media.
it's
Yeah, I
all a
suck
facade.
at
But no, for real, we are, as much as we just want to sit here and, have fun, funny discussions about horror, really the core of the podcast is promoting other people and the ways that horror inspires them to create. So seriously, go keep the community going, the community support. Go pick up the Rotting Room when it drops and let people know about it and spread the word. And then if you hopefully continue to like the podcast, you're not obligated to, but if you do and you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook under Midnight Terrors Podcast. You can shoot us an email at midnightterrorspodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear your topics and movie picks for us. So please feel free to send those via email and we will get to them. And if you would like to join our Facebook group, which is called Midnight Terrors Podcast, you can talk horror with us and all of our friends and family in there. It's a good time. We do have another live event coming up on Friday, April 25th, where we're partnering with the horror book club I mentioned, the Charleston Society of Horror, and that's going to be a really fun live event. And also, you can check out our Linktree, Midnight Terrors Podcast. We keep it real simple, but that has our T Public store on it if you want to pick up some merch. And also, the live event is at Frothy Beard. I should be able to remember that part. But if you're in Charleston or anywhere around, we would love to see you there. And that's it for this episode. Thank you again, Viggy, for joining us, and we'll be back with more horror talk very, very soon. This is the Midnight Terrors podcast. We love you all, and peace.